assuming that you know at least as much about the tracks you're playing as we know about Calder. We know that Calder has year in and year out at this distance been about a 52-50 within that parameter, a little bit, maybe 10 points on either side. But Calder still, even though they don't haven't kept the Johns Manville surface up, it still has an undercoating of asbestos, which is the only artificial surface track in the country. Even though they let it go to pot, it still governs that early percentage by distance within a very close parameter, much more so than our dirt and loam tracks do. So, at any track, you would be suspicious of a horse that ran with 53-37, with the exception like our Santa Anita, if they don't change it. 50-91 at this distance is very suspect at any track. It's a, you know, we're not looking at the 9 furlong. We're looking at 6 furlongs. It's very going to seldom find anywhere. So logic would tell the man. Now, he'd have to know something, you know, 52-14 was out of it. So you're left now with 1, 2, 3 maximum. If you really want to stretch it, you'd have a maximum of 4 horses. You really got 3 horses. And those are the 3 horses, and Bo comes out second of the 3, because he's third rated, and the highest is rated second. Because we're throwing out Bo's outstanding race.
I haven't had a chance to read this yet, but how did you come up with the figures outside the parameters? Did you run the horses? Go ahead and run them just to get that?
I ran all the horses. These are the readouts. I ran all of them. You see here, they're what? Turi, Otis, Brad, Sassy, 2, and Bo.
Okay,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 horses. Yeah, they're run here.
My second question is, why were 2 horses run on Bo's ship? 2 races.
Why did I run Bo's twice?
Yeah.
I ran 2 races of Bo's.
Why did you run 2 races?
They were there. They were there. I do that frequently, don't you?
No.
Why not? When Bo's ran very well, he was a standout with his crowd. When he ran less than well, he was not a standout.
What made you know that he was going to run well today?
So I didn't take the better line. I'm using the worst line. I am using the worst line. I'm not taking advantage of you by using the best line. There would be nothing to write about had I used the best line. I'm just showing you that if you went back to, you'd have the best line anyway. The one where he's a 1-1-4-1-1 is the best line, which we're not using. The one where he comes out 3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3 is the bad line. The model for Calder is that you have to have an energy, early energy expenditure in the 52-50, give or take 20 points on either side range. Go back a page, darling. Go back a page. They're not all of there. We eliminated Turi, Otis, and Sassy. How did I do them? I did them by ultrascan. Their rankings are 2, 4, 3. How do you know what do you mean I ended up with 3 horses? I got 3 horses in the computer, and that's, you're supposed to, you know, I weeded it down. Let's take this step by step. Let's go to page 10. We have run these horses to the computer.
Right.
Turi does not qualify. 53-37
right.
Is 2. Otis is 50-91, does not qualify.
Right.
Brand qualifies.
Yeah.
Sassy does not quite qualify. All of you want to leave him in, you may. 2 qualifies, and Bowles qualifies. You now have 3 horses. You turn the page. You now handicap those horses remaining, and you get the following readout. Brand is your number 1 choice, Bo is your number 2 choice, and 2 is your number 3 choice. You follow this?
No, that's where you lost me. I was fine up that way. I don't see how Bo, became the number 1 horse.
He became the number 2 horse, darling, because he's a number 2 rated horse.
Oh, excuse me, of course. You took that out of the reason.
Right. We're not using it as one. That's too easy. Anybody can get Orgis number one. I'm trying to make it a little difficult. After all, he paid $12. You don't want to make it too easy. Sir?
I'm interested in the elimination on Sassy to just the ballpark in this race. If you often have, we've got 52.5 saved Calder.
Uh-huh.
And we can say, 80% of the winners fall between, say, 52.2 and 52.8. But 20% of the winners might be in Sassy's category. Do you have any rules of thumb? I know you don't know not rules, God forbid. Any guidelines of thumb?
It says in here, when you get home and you read it, it says in here, had you left Sassy in, then Bowles would have, that 3-3-3-3-3 kind of a red flag saying, hey, he's better than 9-2, better. So even if you put Sassy above, he would have then been your third choice. But at 9-2 or better, we would have had something on it. But at Calder, now at Hollywood Park, I'd like
to. Yeah, that's right.
But at Calder, no. Calder, boy, those, they're pretty strict because they have that.
When you find that the parameters are quite strict, you can start throwing them out.
Right.
But if they're quite loose, let's say you start seeing, on the bell curve, you start seeing fringe choices 25%.
But how many of you would refuse to play a very narrow third choice who fit the energy pattern better than your second choice if he's going off at 5-1? This is the way you get 5-1 horses. You make these judgments to get 5-1. So if you bet 3 horses, you make less profit, but at least you got the $12 horse. And 9-2 is my, I won't pull out.
Well,
this is 5-1. Does everybody understand this? Because this race is a key to those people who have first-itis and second-itis if they're going with two horses. You've got to look at the top two choices and bang, bang, bang. You can make money all day long by taking energy over raw numbers. You see, if you put in 8 horses and 6 of them don't belong, you're liable to have a horse that belongs ranked number 7. But if you take those 6 out, he's going to be ranked number 1. In this case, he got number 2. This is a classic example of where you've got anybody is going to throw out 53, 37, and 50, 91. There's 2 of them going right now. Jimmy, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, on this particular race, I was, the X's are the ones he threw out, and are these his race lines, or did he keep this one?
He kept in all the horses that are listed over here.
All right, now this is a,
he kept in all
this situation of putting in too many horses.
Yeah.
You know, you put in too many horses that don't belong in the race, then you get a rank difference.
I think a lot of you are going to put in too many horses, so I just wanted to help you.
Yeah. So Howard wanted to go ahead and show you what could happen if you do put in too many horses. Is what you've got to do is compare your energy and compare this and make your decision of the ones that really truly have a chance. Personally, Too Tall Dan, that's one horse that he left in, I wouldn't even put in. If I put it in, I would take it off of its last race. I don't see any reason to go back. He goes back to the lounge race after he's been running a claiming race, and if you put the horse in on the last race, you don't get it.
Yeah.
So all you have, if you throw that horse out, all you have is the same way with Navigator. I'd take a long look at Navigator before I would go back. If the horse didn't do anything the last time out, you come down. So all you have is, if you want to keep it in, is the Cheap Navigator, Turry Boy, Band Review, and Bowles Bid. You can eliminate the horses from the very beginning, but Howard showed you how you can eliminate them by using the energy process. But a pace line selection, or making an excuse on Too Tall Dan, would cause you a little bit of extra work. because I don't see any reason going back. And the Sassy horse, I don't know whether you put it, if you put that horse in, you know, John took it, looked at a 117 flat, 6 furlong, and then goes back and takes it off of a maiden race. You know, this is just not very good handicap.
Jimmy, I've said several times to some of these folks, and if you, Sassy being the example here, is that when you're considering using a race like Sassy's third race back, make a mental exercise and draw a line through that race and see if you can find any other racehorse might have that would win.
Sure.
In the case of Sassy, that is one race in the entire chart that would give the horse any kind of chance.
I got to answer a question here, which ties in what you just said. Someone said, Howard, I didn't think you would have many horses, and I didn't think you would choose some of these pace lines. I didn't. This is the Clance. Up to the point where I took over, on page 10, that's the Clance. Rita, wondering why he put $500 on a race he lost on Turi and not us. And I'm trying to explain to him, here's what you did wrong. These are your readouts, but you failed to look at percentage of early expenditure. Well, I didn't choose the pace lines. I just took what he had and took his garden and cultivated.
Now, that would be the comment that I have on the race. Is, you know, you could just eliminate Sassy, you could eliminate Too Tall of Hand, and with the horses that he's eliminated, I can't tell what, I don't know what the man's done. You know, this blows my mind when I don't know what they did, because he did some bad things. You know, I mean, no wonder he didn't win the dang race.
I'll tell you what this man told me when I met him. He said, listen, not to fool around with your face, three out of and all that stuff. I've been a gambler all my life. My father was a gambler, and I'm a heavy hitter, and I'm a pretty knowledgeable guy. So just hit me with ultra scans. Oh. Don't be fooling around with all that stuff, because I'm a smart man. 3 weeks later, he called me, I lost $5,000. What's wrong with your program?
But you can see why that the man would lose. These are good things to look at, not to do. You know, like Tom said, that's a good thing. If you want to consider old Sassy, you got to draw a line there and look at it. And you find out that that's the best that the horse has ever done.
Bear in mind that
she's got to run against better today.
What we did here was take the worst that you could do and turn it into
a
flower of some sort. That man, incidentally, after he got this material, which was sent to him, he then got his $5,000 back and some more, because now in recognizing his error. So he did have the perspicacity to capitalize on his error and not to sulk. And he had the capital also. If I lost $5,000, I'd sulk for a year.
If he keeps doing this, he won't have capital very long.
No, he could do that. Stay with me, Jimmy. We'll get to the... Now you got that one. That was pretty easy. Let's now go to the example in this manual, which shows you when and how you would make an adjustment on your own, why you would do it. And that is the third race at Belmont. The markings are the clients. The reason he's got circles around Clear Horizon and Colonel Yanni is because they were in the money. One of them won and one of them showed. And he took that in. His question to me was, how come all the winners come up third and fourth on Ultra Scale? Well, if I were him and I was doing that, I'd bet the ones that came up third and fourth. That would be my model, but there is a better way. The essence of this portion is, if you accept the computer's adjustment blindly, you're not going to get Clear Horizon over Colonel Yanni. So I'm going to ask you to look what Colonel Yanni ran. Now look at the pace of the race. This is so important. You have a tendency, being ex-speed handicappers, I hope, to to look at the final time of the horse and judge everything by that. Remember what we told you this morning, that UltraScan gauges not only the horse's velocity, but the horse's pace that it ran against. Who ran against the fastest pace?
Clear Horizon.
Right.
45 and 3, a little bit.
Who has the lowest daily track variance?
Colonel Yanni. The lowest?
Clear Horizon.
No. Yeah. 10 is lower than 12.
Oh, yeah.
Yanni.
We're using the second race back on Clear Horizon, the last race on Colonel Yanni.
Mm-hmm.
UltraScan does not know that you said that a 12 who runs faster than a 10 should be penalized. If a horse runs on a 12 variant and runs against a fast, and the pace of that race were faster than the horse that ran on the 10, what's wrong with there? It should be the other way around if you're going to make an adjustment, right? What you would be doing here, if you accepted the computer's adjustments, would be penalizing a horse that ran faster on a higher variant, which is does not make any, there's no justification, is it? See what I'm saying? The pace of Clear Horizon's race was 0.25 seconds faster than the pace of Colonel Yanni's race. And remember, we make variants on the pace of the race, not on what the horse did. So you would be penalizing Clear Horizon for running against a faster pace, crediting Colonel Yanni for running against a slower pace but on a faster variant, which is the reverse of reality. Does anybody not see that? Is that clear to everyone? Not clear? Why isn't it clear? Follow me here. Colonel Yanni's last race was against a 109.4 final time on a daily variant of 10. Okay. Clear Horizon's race we used two races back was a 109.2 pace, a 12 daily variant. Now, had those 12 and 10 been reversed, that would have been logical, right? This makes Clear Horizon's race not only two ticks, if you want to use that old phrase, better, but makes it four ticks better. You're going on ticks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
All right.
That's
good. Now, your other contenders, Distinct Edge, run on a 19, deserves credit, right? Should get an adjustment.
Yes.
Switch in Time also ran on a 10, does not get an adjustment.
Right.
Michael's Dancer's a favorite. You can't really do much unless you go way, way back. He doesn't figure anyway, but you could leave him in on a 12, fine. What we did in essence in this race then was adjust every horse to an 11 daily variant, to the energy at 11, which is halfway between, in other words, 109 and 3, if you want to use old-fashioned terminology. We adjusted, we gave a slight penalty to Colonel and a slight advance to Clear and a considerable adjustment to Distinct Edge. None to Switch in Time because it got whatever penalty that Colonel Yanni got. So what we did was take it through the bar generator, entered the two times of Colonel Yanni and Clear Horizon. Both of them were entered. In the par generator, I added 45 and 1, 109 and 4, zero beaten lengths. Remember, we're making a variant now. No. Then I entered Clear Horizon, 45 and 3, 109 and 2. And it says, any more horses? I said, no, it averaged those two figures and gave me an energy figure. You got it so far? This created then an adjustment. I forget what it was. it gave a .11 to Clear Horizon and a minus .11, in other words, to the other books. And it gave about a .8 something to Distinct Edge. This is done through your PAR generator. It's very simple. Bob will show you. He's got, well, his computer broke, but Tom will show you. Anybody who's got one will show you. When it says you want to make average variance, you stick it into the average and it'll give you an average. The bottom line is that when you made that adjustment, well, here's here, they're over here. It shows you. Distinct Edge would have gotten, I suppose if you use it, it shows you what would have happened if you used the computer, how ridiculous it would have been. It shows you that the kernel would have got minus 17, and Clear would have got minus 2.13 for running faster. I mean, this is ridiculous. Running against a faster pitch. He gets penalized 1.9 something more than Colonel Urey, and it's just the reverse. There's a situation where your computer, not realizing that you're expecting a reverse from logical situation to happen, will give you the bottom line is that the kernel the manual adjustments. Remember, we've made manual adjustments now, so you throw out the computer adjustments. Always look at the raw. This is the beauty of the combo scan. You'll always get to see the raw, so you won't be straying too far away from the reality. In the raw, Clear is number one, Switch is number two, the kernel is number three. In your manual adjustments, had you made them just the simple way I did it, Clear would have been one, the kernel would have been second, Distinct third, and Switch would have been fourth. Yes, sir.
I just ran into the PAR generator. I got these figures, and I wasn't all the way through.
You ignored them.
You said we're going to make a variance.
Oh, you got the PAR generator. All right.
I ran through the PAR generator. I ran up towards the PAR generator.
Colonel, you're on the river, right?
Now, what did I do with
it? Well, what did you get? What is your PAR generator? You ran those two horses through. What does it give you?
I mean, yeah, but what problem?
Total energy.
Total energy. I got an average of
10.36. Okay, so that's the energy pattern you're going to adjust everybody to. That's the average of those two horses.
How can you do that?
You're adjusting them all to fit that number.
How?
If I'm not standing right there looking at your program, now look at the total energy. What is Urey's total energy? You subtract the difference. If one he gets a what point of whatever it is, minus 11. The other one gets a plus 11 or something. What is the total energy of the race of Colonel? And what is the total energy of the race of Clear? They are each adjusted to that total energy you got by averaging, as is Switch and everybody else. The man gave me who won the race. Okay, the Colonel showed Switch came in second, so what you got was it. In the top three, you got a 1, 2, 3. You are adjusting everybody to the average of those two. How? What's the total energy of the three horses?
I've only got two horses in them.
Well, you've got a big computer. Write it down and put the others in now.
Put it where?
Put it in the computer.
Where?
In the PAR generator.
Put it on open adjustment.
No, put it. First, you got to find out what your adjustment is.
Well, I'm looking at what's on the PAR generator now. Where do I get the number to go on the open?
By putting in the total energy of the other contenders individually, all of these energies individually.
And then the difference.
On your PAR generator. Run them all and just note how you enter them. It won't give you by name, but if you enter in post position order, then put a little note to the R and subtract the difference. The total energy.
Take the difference of the average.
Yeah, take the difference of what you just established as your... Make the difference your adjustment each horse gets. Some will be a plus, some a couple will be a minus. Now you got it. That's the way it says to do it in the manual. That's the only way I know how to do it.
Is there a separate manual for the car generator?
Okay, someone says there's a manual for the car generator. The ultra-scan manual is about 40 pages on a car generator. Right? Of the 160 pages, I think 40 pages in the ultra-scan manual are dedicated to the use of the car generator. And remember, it goes in open. You put nothing in third. It's all in the open. Forget third.
A little louder, Chris, I can't hear. Would you be accomplishing the same thing by using 1 and 0 and adjusting everything from that?
Yes.
Okay, so
yes, if you said...
That's a little bit easier.
Yes, but see, if you did that, you're fine, but you would probably say, well, I don't want the question of, yeah, but what does that mean? Sure, take...
For example, Tom did last session.
Sure. Take Colonel Urey, who ran against on the lowest bearing, and make him 0. But what I want to do is distinguish in everybody's mind the difference between Urey on a 10 running against a 109 and 4, and Clear on a 12 running against a 109 and 2. If you listen to all the experts, they're telling you the bearing's supposed to produce the fastest pace. In this case, it didn't. You have to be able to overcome that inconsistency with common sense. Now, you wouldn't have had it with the same degree of satisfaction. If you had let the computer do it, you would have had Clear, just strictly letting the computer do it, Clear would have been third. Because you would have used ultra-scan and variant. And distinct would have been 1. Distinct didn't deserve to be anything. It didn't even come in. It's called edge here. Distinct edge wasn't even one of your things, and it would have been number 1. Switch would have been number 2. Switch plates. Now you still would have made a little money, and had this horse, I don't know what it paid. He didn't send me the results except who won. It says here that Clear was 6-1 on the morning line. Now if he paid $12, then you wouldn't have minded maybe if it was number 3, but I'd rather have him come out number 1, wouldn't you? And he clearly, if you make a little sensible adjustment. So what you do is, either do it like Chris says, determine which way you want it to number your 0 horse and adjust them all to that, or do it this way. I prefer to take the 2 fastest times and average them, as Tom does, and then find their actual energy and adjust 1 up and 1 down to it, and then adjust the others to that median. This will give you a very, very specific readout.
So what you're saying is you took the 2 fastest horses, their average, and then you still ranked everybody else in the car time.
Then I ranked them all. Yes. Clear got a little plus, Yuri got a little minus, Switch and that other horse got a nice plus. But they came out, still did not, they're running, their speed, they were slower. The best of them was Switch. Switch was the best of the rest. But, well, any stretch of the imagination? Now, Jimmy's sitting here saying, well, hell, I wouldn't have to do all that stuff. I thought it was 1, 2, 3. Anybody can see that, right?
Right.
How'd you get them, Jimmy?
Tandem. Tandem concept will throw distinct edge out. It'll throw the Rambolera out, and only ones that you live end up with is Switch and Time, Michael Dancer, Colonel Yoni, and Clear to Ride. Now, if you look at the tandem concept, you start looking, you're going to go back one race on Clear Horizon, because this is where you got to, this is his pace time. when you look, you see that he ran in the Governor Tom race. You look up at Rambarella, see that Rambarella doesn't qualify under the tandem concept, so you can eliminate Rambarella. Then you look over at the Distinct Edge race, and you're looking at the Switch in Time. You see that they ran against each other. The only way that she qualifies is that she finished in the money, but she gets beat six lengths. You're going to use Switch in Time's last race. They're a couple, so forget it. Do Switch in Time. Michael Dancer, you won't get anyway. So you get Colonel Young and Clear Horizon are the only two horses that you can get in the race.
You don't get the exact if you do it
that. Yeah, but you put the other two in.
Yeah.
You put the other two in.
Just like a snake.
But that's how you can use the tandem concept to eliminate horses.
Jimmy, there was a situation at Hollywood yesterday, and I think the solution might be just to pass the race, but since you're the resident expert in tandem, I'll use this opportunity to ask, in that one of the horses, I guess it must have been we'll call it the tandem race place horse. He was supposed to go one race back to get his line. That race, as happenstance had it, was about a year ago. Okay, so in that case, you just take a flyer. Is there some way to handle that? Or
I wouldn't penalize the horse. I would look if I qualified under the tandem.
Why don't we show him the race?
Pardon? I wouldn't care where I had to go back to get him if I qualified it and he qualified as a first tandem.
You want to see the race? Yeah. Would that help explain
it?
May.
God, no. There's too much marks on the farm. I've got to see the clean farm or try to look at it, because I didn't even know what this man had done. You know, you can, the genuine saint, you can eliminate. You know, you just look a little further, look at all these face lines. It also came out of the Governor Tom race. So you can eliminate a lot of horses. All you've got is Clear Horizons. Really, honestly, the only horses that the computer will get is Clear Horizons, Colonel Yoni, and Switch in Time. Those are the only horses that the computer, that UltraScan, will get.
However, you might not find all races that simple to do, even if it did pay $12. But this concept now, if you are willing to do it, is the optimal way to use UltraScan, is to have the actual energy figures. And in the answers manual, we go into how to do it. Sprints to routes, every possible situation. And it may not be any better than just doing it the way Tom and Dick did in those two example races there, but it gives you much more confidence knowing that you're using actual energy figures. Let the daily racing form, daily variant, help you to a point and guide you. If a horse ran real slow on a 3 variant and another horse ran faster on a 12 variant, that should give you a little hint that the horse that ran slow on the 3 variant is a slow horse. Don't fool with it, unless it's got the supreme class in it.
You know, I think in a number of instances, we're afraid of UltraScan because we didn't understand it. And that's why Howard took the time to explain what it did a little bit this morning. And it's really a simple program to operate. And it saves you a lot of time if you're changing track. You know, you don't have to wait to get a track profile to play Del Mar. You know, you can make it and look at it and work it and just use your adjustments and take them from the races, Howard said. You know, that's as good as having a profile. These horses are the ones that are in the race. He made the profile from the energy of the race.
It's Belmont. I've been playing Belmont. That tells you. Now let's get on to 27 here before Bob Purdy takes over. Mr. Both hands. Let's see that we all have the answers here, and don't anybody be shy. These answers are not apparent to you. Let's get them good. What are the key concepts we learned from these three races? Well, the first thing we learned from the first two races is the importance of keeping a pro-am model. In a Brohammer model with UltraScan, the key is energy. Percentage early. Energy is very key. Because UltraScan in itself recognizes that far less liberalness than does phase three. You have to then look at each race to determine whether or not it needs an adjustment. In any race where you have horses coming off of 7, 6, any time when you have a horse running faster on 12 variant or the pace of the race being faster than on 10, you better look to make some adjustments or you're going to get burned. Now, it doesn't matter if you get burned, though. A lot of people say, I don't care about getting burned. I get much higher mutuals by just using UltraScan and variant. But I don't win as many races. You might as well have the best of both worlds. Win the higher payouts and win more races. Okay, let me ask you, why is Colonel Urie number one computer adjusted, but only number two raw?
What are you looking for? You're looking back to where we were before.
Yeah. Colonel Urie, who ran the fastest time, fastest final time, is only number two raw. Why? Does anybody know why?
Track variant.
Talking about raw now. We didn't, without any variant. The answer lies in the value of a beaten length in UltraScan. When you say that one horse ran it in 109 and two beaten 2.5 lengths, you're thinking of 109 and 4.5, aren't you? As opposed to 109 and 4. That's old-fashioned. The value of a beaten length in UltraScan in the final fraction is such that it makes a 109 and two beaten 2.5 faster than a 109 and four beaten nothing. It's in the nature of the law of physics. And it will profit you to understand that that is the law of reality. Don't fight it, it works. You understand that? They virtually ran about at the same time because the value of a beaten length is not a fifth of a second. So you cannot say that 109 and 2 beaten 2.5 is slower than 109 and 4 beaten nothing because the value of a beaten length is not a fifth of a second. It is what we have in this program. And it wins more than just than if you accept the other. We know why switch, okay, do you know why a switch gets a much better rating when converted from 6, 7 to 6? Now, we used our stretch call conversion program that's in CombiScan, which you'll all have access to very soon. It automatically makes the stretch call by half furlong for you, going back a full furlong. So you can put in a 7-furlong race, say, yes, I want the stretch call. It will give you the stretch call, which in the case of switch was 111 and 3. Gave you the time that ran. So you would enter the 6th furlong. You wouldn't mess with that 7-furlong race. You'd call it a 6-furlong and enter the newly made time. That will be in that program. That will make you a lot of money. 9 to 8 furlongs, 7 to 6 furlongs. 6.5, 5.5, etc. And also does it by half furlong. The half furlong quite naturally is less precisely accurate than when you do a full furlong.
You have the program ready at this time?
Just about. You'll get a notice on it.
Right.
Yes, sir.
That element already in the 3-in-1 program.
Yes, it is. That's in the 3-in-1 program.
What of the three?
But this one will encompass most of what 3-in-1 has, plus...
In your flyer that you sent out this time, you said you were going to have something here on this three-way deal here. I don't have a copy of the flyer. It would be out in my car.
Yeah.
Are you going to have anything about that today?
You're talking about CombiScan? What did you say?
Yeah, CombiScan.
Yeah, all these things in here have been taken from CombiScan. All these readouts here are CombiScan readouts.
Yeah.
Which means that you just press a button and you'll get them ranked by computer time, computer adjusted, manually adjusted, ultra raw, and ultra endurance.
This is what we're talking about right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That program is just about ready for all computers. Yeah. 4 readouts.
You don't have it. You don't have it today.
I don't have the program here today, but I've got the readouts here so you can see what it'll do for you here today. It's not done for the IBM, it's not done for the Apple, and it is not done for the IBM and Apple, and that's all. Yeah, but I'm not going to give it to one person and have other people not get it. My wife gets very mad at me when I prefer one person over to the other, and the other person says, "But I can't. Why can't I have one too?" She's a Democrat. I'm a Republican. Although I wouldn't vote for the current administration, I'm a Republican in my pocketbook and a Democrat in my heart.
We all are. He wants the best of two worlds.
Okay, but well, it'll be ready within a couple of weeks, as soon as Bernie finishes and as soon as
what will be your price on that?
Oh, it'll be very high. how much you got? It's got to be a little more. It's got to be a little more because it does so much more. And you've got to realize that these guys can make these programs for me. It's not going to be big, but it's going to be more than a bread box. More than $10, more than $20. But probably less than $40. What am I bid?
$39.95.
All right. You won't get much. Why is Colonel Wye a better show, or since he showed, had he placed, why is he better not to win, but he's good in the money horse? Let's change the word. Based on what Tom Brohammer and all of us have said to you.
3-3-3.
No, he's a 1-1. He went wire to wire.
Because he's
wire to wire horse.
He's going to have a lead.
He has to have the lead. Plus the fact he's probably peaked, and he's a good in the money thing. If he was going to pay anything, I don't know what the horse is paid. Probably didn't pay. He wasn't the favorite. That class horse was the favorite. So they paid a little. I know what the Quinella. Oh, I tell you what, he did tell you what the Quinella. Quinella, the $2 Quinella paid $29. Well, you got to figure that there was something. That's two for $2. That's not bad. $29. What's that? $20. Half of $29 is pretty good.
13.5 to 1.
We already asked the question why Clear is number one on Raw Ultra. That's because of the value of beaten leg. All right, now let's get into this subject. Why is he number four with the automatic computer adjustment? This is the thing somebody asked earlier. What happens when I get a horse that's 1-4 or 4-1? What do I do about it? When you get a 4-1 or 1-4, we're looking on page 28 of the question. Clear happened to be a 1-4. When you use the automatic computer readout. When a horse is number one on Raw, that means he's the fastest horse in the race. The fastest horse in the race is going to get penalized by a meridian variance so that if the race is more clearly rateable on the Raw speed, you evaluate it on Raw. If it's more clearly rateable, when the variant plays a large part in that race, you would rate him on the variant. In this case, he came in, the variant that he ran against and the next best contender, or the top contender if you prefer, both ran on a variant within 2 points of each other. That certainly was not the reason to having moved to fourth. The answer that I take on that is to look at it from experience and not do this adjustment, or to look at it with relative inexperience, do this adjustment, and you'll find out why. Computer adjusted him downward and rather than upward because of the strange inadequacy of the daily variant factor. When you see a 1-4 or a 4-1, it either means you entered the wrong horse or it means that you've got a long shot potential there. So to further investigate the race, if you want to go through this procedure, that will cement it. If he got a 4-1, And he got, that means he got his one rating solely on the idea that he was a fast horse but ran the track. You find that's not true, then that one rating is false. So this will solve it if you'll do this simple thing with your part generator and just adjust them to either a zero or to an average of the best two.
You determine the wrong horse. Would it be wrong because of potentially the track variance? Would it be wrong because the horse is possibly slow?
No. Supposing he ran on a, let's say he ran on a 20 variant and ran a 112. And he should, on a 20 variant, if you took the others and adjusted them to a 20 variant, they'd still be a whole lot better than he. You just got a slow horse. If he runs well, if you look back a couple of races and you find that he ran a 111.4 when he was on the same variant today, then you know the adjustment is justified and you will take advantage of the variant adjustment and have yourself a long shot. As Tom did. Okay, we're doing real well on these questions. What you have to do is what it says here. Always ask why. And there's an answer to when you have a why. If you don't know the answer, and the answer's manual doesn't provide it, don't hesitate to send us the race. Let us evaluate it for you. I think that this little manual here, which is just a very small amount of the answer's manual, will answer a lot of questions you didn't have before, does it not? This does answer questions I think you all had, right, Alan? Maybe that you haven't been answered yet to your satisfaction, but after you read it, I think you'll see. Yeah. If you can answer the question, what does this race need adjusting or does it not? You can answer it, then you've got it made. Always, after you lose a race, God forbid, go over it and say why. Don't start cursing yourself or your tools. Say, why did I lose this race? Why did I have that horse fit? Did I do all these things? Did I look at the early energy cars? Did I look at see whether he needed adjusting and failed you? Was he just a plain damn slow horse? Okay, now this final thing shows you some readouts that signal possible long shots. The very ones I think that bother you the most are the ones that will pay you off the most if you answer why. Those are 1-4 and 4-1 who are ranked sufficiently high on your early late wind model, your Brohammer model, that other than their 4-1-1-4, they show a lot of promise. And the other is 3-3-3-3, or close to it. Those are the readouts.